come down to verses 26 and 27, we see that verse 24, that God also gave them up, and goes on to mention sexual impurity, which we've looked at the last couple of weeks. Then in verse 26, for this cause, again, the sexual impurity and the fact that they changed the truth of God into a lie and began to live for the temporal, for this cause, God gave them up. So it's the second time. Again, we're talking about God's abandoning wrath. God gave them up unto vile affections. And he goes on to explain. For even their, even is a point of emphasis to emphasize. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, or which was fitting. So now we see one of the results of God's abandoning wrath, just allowing men to follow the lust of their hearts. It brings us to degradation. For this cause, again, on account of what has just been said, God gave them up. God's abandoning wrath. That's what we as a nation, pretty much the whole world, is under today. The abandoning wrath of God, where God no longer restrains man. We see that's what he did back in Genesis chapter 6, just prior to the flood. God just let man go. And then, of course, the result was the cataclysmic wrath of God. For this cause, again, sin is the reason for this aspect of God's wrath. And more sin is the result. That's where we are today. We see the abandoning wrath of God upon a society. The reason is sin. And the result of that abandoning wrath is more sin. And more sin becomes the next cause of God's wrath. And sin is the consequence. More and more and more sin. So what we see here is the results of the abandoning wrath of God, which is just simply man, God leaving man to follow his depraved heart. And he goes on to describe lesbianism and homosexuality. These are the result of the wrath of God. People will say God is going to judge homosexuality. Yes, he is. Let there be no doubt. Yes, he is. And God will judge a nation for that sin. He always has. But I think something we miss, we being Christianity, is homosexuality and lesbianism is the wrath of God. That's what Romans 1 is teaching us. God gave them up. That's the abandoned wrath of God. The result? Homosexuality. lesbianism. These are not merely alternative lifestyles. And only fools will believe that these are alternative lifestyles. So let's look at Paul's description of this sin. First of all, it is referred to as depraved feelings and a depraved disposition. Notice verse 26. God gave them up unto vile affections. God didn't put the vile affections there. God gave them up to their own vile affections. He removed the restraints. But it is referred to as vile affections. They can call it love. God says it's vile affections. The word vile means corrupt. Corrupt affections. Means depraved. Depraved affections. Vile is that which is twisted. Something that is gross and vulgar and obscene. It's something that normal people would refer to as disgusting. Only fools professing themselves to be wise call it something else. Vile affections. It's that which is abhorrent. It's that which is repulsive and revolting. Vile affections. So homosexuality and lesbianism are the exercise of vile affections. It is the manifestation of vile affections. And again, only those who have become fools, professing themselves to be wise, will think that this is appropriate and will accommodate it and exalt it and celebrate it. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and they began to celebrate and exalt vile affections. That's where we are today. Those who are against homosexuality are scared to death to say anything because they don't want to be labeled as a hate monger or many other things. So first of all, it's referred to as vile affections. Well, I have such strong feelings toward this person. Well, that would fall under the category of affections, but it's vile. It's vile. I'm not denying that a man may have affections for another man or woman for woman, but it's vile. It's vile affections. Paul spends time telling us that it is unnatural. And this is what the world needs to understand today. It is unnatural. It is an exchange for the natural. Notice again, verse 26. We see women did change. Women did change the natural use. So there is something that's natural, but it's not lesbianism. Women did change the natural use. Verse 27, and likewise also the men. And then notice what it says, leaving the natural. There is a change of the natural use, and there is a leaving of the natural. Now notice two verbs. Verse 26, change. Verse 27, leaving. You say, well, what's the point? Well, it describes a voluntary act. It is a voluntary act. In verse 26, the women did voluntarily change the natural use. It's a verb. Verb is a voluntary act. We see verse 27, men leaving. They choose to do so. This nonsense, they can't help it, that's a lie. Because they change. That's something you do on purpose. You change something. And they leave. That's something you do on purpose. So the words change and leaving describe a voluntary act. They move from what is natural to what is unnatural. Change the natural use, leaving the natural. Those are descriptive of homosexuality. Change the natural use, leave the natural. And then notice, so we see, this is vile affections, and it is unnatural. It is a changing the natural, it is a leaving the natural. It's not the norm. It's not the norm. It's never to be considered the norm. I don't care who it is. It's not to be considered the norm. He goes on, and verse 26, it is described as, notice the last two words of verse 26, against nature. It is against nature. Or against the natural. So it is an exchange for the natural. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Now in Jude verse 7, notice if you turn there, Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. That's a natural sin. And going after strange flesh. Referring to homosexuality. That which is strange is not normal. Going after strange flesh. And notice, he puts a difference here between fornication. He mentions them as separate. Fornication, and then going after strange flesh. and set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So from these verses, Romans 1, 26, 27, Jude verse 7, it is clearly stated that homosexuality is not natural. It is not natural. But God's inspired word takes homosexuality and lesbianism out of the realm of the natural. Don't compare it with the natural. Don't compare it with natural sins. God takes it out of the realm of the natural or the norm. Homosexuality and lesbianism are not natural. There is a great push today, and many of God's people have bought into it. I'm not saying that many of God's people have accepted homosexuality. Not yet, but it's coming. But they have bought into, to a large degree, and we'll show this, that it is natural. They bought into it without even knowing it. So he takes it out of the realm of the natural. Only those who have become fools will call this natural. There's nothing natural about it. There's nothing normal about it. Now here's where God's people, and I've heard pastors say it. I've heard many say it. Well, homosexuality, if you think about it, this is them speaking, really is no different than adultery and fornication. You've bought into a lie. You realize the danger of that statement? You realize the danger of that statement? You're making it natural. It's no different. You're comparing apples and oranges. And I've heard a couple pastors say, well, we receive people who have been guilty of adultery and fornication, and homosexuality is no different. Now, they haven't come right out and said yet, but it's coming. We should receive the homosexual. But is that not what they're saying? That's exactly what they're saying. We receive the adulterer and the fornicator, those who have been guilty of those sins, and they've been forgiven, and we receive them. Homosexuality is no different. Oh, but it is different. Fornication is a natural sin. That doesn't lessen the fact that it's a sin. But you put it in the realm of natural. Homosexuality is taken out of the realm of natural. You're dealing with something completely different here. You have natural, you have unnatural. Don't put them in the same category. And that's where many of God's people, and I'm talking about the Lord's churches, are in great error today, and it's going to lead to an acceptance of it. It's no different. It's no different. Such a statement is grievously and dangerously erroneous. The fact that homosexuality and lesbianism are an exchange, and Paul makes that clear, verse 26 and 27, Jude makes it clear, it is an exchange of the natural for the unnatural, puts them in a different class of sin. Now, I've heard people say, well, you can't classify sin. Well, I believe the Bible does. I believe the Bible does. Well, all sin is sin. Yes, it is. We're not denying that. But not all sin is the same. And someone who says, well, all sin is the same, you haven't really thought that through. You mean to tell me that telling a lie is the same as murdering someone? I don't think so. Does that make telling a lie not sin? No. But it's not the same. It's not the same. All sin is sin, but not all sin is the same. And that's a dangerous place to fall, is all sin is the same. Well, that presents so many problems that it's just almost beyond belief. So a common question is homosexuality natural? And many will answer that question. The liberal will say, well, define natural. Define natural. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because in the context of what we're talking about, God defines natural. Notice verse 27. Men leaving the natural use of the woman. What is natural? Men and women. That's natural. To leave that is what? Unnatural. I mean, this is very simple. It's not what people want to hear, but it's very simple. So God defines natural. The natural use, men, male, has God created them. We have to stress that nowadays. Men, the natural use of the woman. Adultery and fornication are sin. They're terrible sins. We've shown that in the past few lessons. But they are natural sins, men and women. We're now dealing with something in a different realm. So don't make them the same, because God doesn't. Notice in Leviticus chapter 18, again, people, when you get on this subject, well, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is. And it's still God's Word. But we've just read very plainly what is stated in the New Testament. But in Leviticus 18, verse 22, Leviticus 18 and verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. There's the natural. Mankind with womankind. That's the natural. But thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind in the same way. It is abomination. It is abomination. And notice in Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman. As he lieth with a woman is natural. We're defining natural here. Man and woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They haven't committed fornication. Fornication is between man and woman. But they have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So what is natural? Mankind with womankind is natural. Mankind with a woman is natural. That's what's natural. And if someone tries to defend homosexuality by saying it's natural, they're sick. They're sick individuals. It's not natural. Natural can be defined by design. By design. And what is God's design? Man and woman. But it's got some bounds. A man with his own wife. A wife with her own husband. But the design is man and woman. Homosexuality and lesbianism are not natural. They are in the class of unnatural sins. I had a discussion about a year ago Thanksgiving week. I was at the conference in Paducah. And we got under this subject because there was an individual whom I overheard. I was not part of the conversation. But he was making it the same sin. I said, "Brother, you're wrong. And you are dangerously wrong." And we got into this subject. This is a different class of sin. It's the unnatural sin. Again, it is true that all sin is sin. We believe that wholeheartedly. But not all sin is the same. It is true that all sin is sin in God's eye. But not all sin is the same in God's eyes. And we'll look into some verses about that next week. But what we want to establish today, and I know you believe this, but I'm telling you, it's scary. And you talk to most young people, and it's scary. But I listen to pastors and church members. They've fallen into this trap. Where does it stop? Well, you know where it stops. It's going to be accepted. I'm not saying everybody's going to accept it. I'm not saying all the Lord's churches are going to accept it. But I believe some will. And it's already starting because of these comments. There's nothing natural about it. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word, the plainness of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just teach us every day, teach us your word. Teach us, Lord, what is right, that we might always know the difference between right and wrong, between that which is right and that which is sin. Lord, we thank you for your people that continue to stand, and we just pray that you give us the grace to do so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.